There he stood, basking in the literal and figurative glow of God, being amazed to be able to prove his point above all things, to show without a doubt there is one God. It is the God of heaven. There Elijah stood on Mount Carmel, challenging the gods of Baal. As recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18, you see Elijah standing before those 450, proving that God of heaven is the God that is truly in existence. I wonder what it was like for Elijah to see the fire raining down from God above, not only burning the animal, but the wood, the rocks, the water, the dirt, burning it all. Wonder what it was like for him to stand there in that place to watch the glory of God unfold. It is interesting in life that when there are highs, there are also lows. For our lesson this morning, I want us to consider the aftermath of this particular event. Oftentimes we talk about Old Testament stories. Never could stand calling them Old Testament stories, because the reality is it is no story. It is the true events as recorded in Scripture to indicate to us and to show that our life was much like that of the prophet named Elijah. I challenge you this morning to take your Bibles, open it up to 1 Kings chapter 19 as we discuss the subject of the fog of depression. As recorded in chapter 18, you see Elijah and one of the highest moments of his life, it would seem. There he stood, literally, in the glow of the glory of God. And then, you have the words recorded in chapter 19. As was read for your hearing a moment ago, in chapter 19, beginning with verse 1, you have the relaying of the story to Jezebel. Now, she knows. The response is then given in the following verse, indicating her complete and utter displeasure with the proof that her God is wrong, the prophets are false, the God of heaven truly reigns. So she presents this particular threat. To you, Elijah, I will make you just as those men. I will make your life as miserable as those men within a day. This is no ordinary threat. This is no ordinary woman. Jezebel has proved throughout Scripture to this point of her ruthlessness, her willingness to go any length she needs in order to get accomplished what she wants accomplished. And there she stood with all the power, authority, and ability threatening the life of Elijah. How would you respond if that was you? How would you feel if you were being threatened by such a powerful person? As you'll notice in the verses that then follow, verse number 4, you have him presenting some issues. In verse 3, it indicates that he was afraid. I wonder, is there a stronger word? To me, it just doesn't seem like "I'm afraid" really fits here. What word in our English language do we have the ability to truly feel this emotion? because I'm afraid just doesn't seem to cut it. I am extremely petrified. That doesn't even cut it. Because for Elijah, this is a huge emotional block laid upon his shoulders through a messenger. How did he respond? Well, like any sane person, you run. You run and you run and you run. You get away. You walk away as fast as you can. Matter of fact, about 95 miles is how far he went. And then went another day's journey on top of that to get away. Read verse 4 with me. But he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die. Elijah wanted to die. In the mental health field, we would pull out our DSM-5, which is the Bible of Mental Illness, called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders, 5th edition, by the way. We would pull this handy-dandy, purple-covered book out. We would flip through. Perhaps we would allow our book to then open to the criteria of major depressive disorder as we begin to categorize and catalog and label Elijah. Notice some interesting things. Number one, he's greatly afraid. Two, he is suicidal. Three, he's losing his desire to live. He's a mess. You ever felt that way? It is interesting to think about depression and to hear what we're told. What we're told is that Christians don't feel this way. If you have a good relationship with God, you won't have this issue. Somebody go tell that to Elijah, would you, please, somebody? I suspect he's probably on the line to go into the pearly gates. Somebody go tell God, don't let Elijah in. He felt depressed. Is God going to, on that great day in which He opens the gates and Jesus leads the faithful in, stand at the door and say, Elijah, other line. Other line, you felt depressed. Is that what we are now teaching? Is that what we believe? The point of even me creating this series of sermons, even contemplating, thinking about these subjects that you and I will tackle for a few days, is to prove that even Christians struggle. Even Christians have a hard time. It doesn't mean we are locked out of the pearly gates. It means we need the help of God to push through. Consider with me, if you would, the answer to the problem. I always hated it when preachers came up and they said, all right, here's your problem, this is what you need to fix, and then they don't tell you how to fix it. Like, what in the world? Good, I got depression. Anything else? Have a nice day. But the Bible actually gives very clear instructions on handling depression. Believe it or not, we've even proven through research that God knows what He's talking about. Go figure. Because if you and I walk into a therapist's office, if you and I walk into a psychiatrist's office, if you and I walk in, sit down and say, I have depression, I feel depressed, they're going to give you things to do. And you know what? They're the exact same things that God prescribes here. Notice the beginning, verse 5. So he lay down and he slept under a broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he rose and he ate and he drank. And he went in the strength of the Lord 40 days, 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Number one, when depressed. When depressed, first and foremost, make sure that we are getting the appropriate amount of rest. Remember what I said? Appropriate amount of rest. You know what happens when you feel depressed? Most of us do, don't we? When we feel depressed, we don't do anything. So what do you feel like when you don't do anything? Depressed. So what do you do when you're depressed? You don't do anything. What do you feel like when you don't do anything? Depressed. What in the world are we doing? I don't feel like doing anything, so I feel depressed. I don't do anything, I feel depressed. What in the world? Sometimes we get into the spiral of thinking that the less I do, the better I'll feel. Remind me, what was the definition of insanity again? Doing the same things, expecting different results. Appropriate amount of rest is necessary to recharge the battery, to heal the mind, and allow the mind to calm down. Appropriate amounts of rest are required. Notice this event is taking place, and you have Elijah doing that very thing. He laid down and he rested. His mind was a blur. His behaviors were crazy. He's sitting here talking about suicide and death. What did he need to do? Dude, just sit down. Calm down. Get you some rest. Let your mind catch up. Let yourself heal. Allow yourself a moment to be able to grasp what's going on. Slow down. It's the first thing that happens. Secondly, you'll notice that an angel touches him on the arm and does what? Feeds him. And he doesn't feed him just anything. He feeds him specific things. The second thing we tell people is you need to watch your diet. When you're depressed, the big bag of potato chips may look good, but it's not healthy. The spoon and the ice cream isn't going to make you feel any better. Chocolate, all this. Look, doing all that isn't going to make you feel any better. It doesn't help depression whatsoever to eat a whole gallon of Chunky Monkey. What do we need? We need nutrition. God provides the very nutrition that he needs. He says, "Here, eat this." He doesn't tell Elijah, "Go up and kill and eat." He doesn't go to Elijah and say, "Okay, go scrounge around, find you something to eat." No, he says, "Here, eat this. Here, eat this." And he's very specific with what this is. So should we. If we are feeling depressed, if we are feeling down, we need to be very specific on the stuff that we eat. The fruits and the vegetables. The less the process, the better they are. We need to spend time in noticing what we're putting into our body. Because the more nasty stuff we put in our body, the nastier we feel. So if I am feeling depressed, first and foremost, get the right kind of sleep and rest. Two, get the right kind of food in your system. And then third, notice what happens next. In verse number 8, he found his strength for 40 days and 40 nights. He went to Mount Horeb. Another name for Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai. He now travels south 200 miles to a place called Mount Sinai. Third thing that he is told to do, and something he does, is he exercises. Can you imagine traveling 200 miles? I was in Massachusetts yesterday. I went to Massachusetts for a conference on Tuesday. left at 3 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, drove to Tulsa, flew to Boston, Massachusetts, got in a car, drove to Marlborough, Massachusetts, wanted to play disc golf really bad, so I drove to another town to go play disc golf for a while. To us, 200 miles is like that, you know, get in a car, turn the music on. But for them, it was something different, wasn't it? One of the third things that we do as mental health professionals in talking about depression is we tell people, get out of the house. Get out of the house. I'm not asking, do you want to get out of the house? We're not asking, hey, you might think it. No, get out of the house. This is not a suggestion. This is not a helpful hint. We're going to tell you, get out of the house. Stop looking at the same four walls. Stop watching Oprah. Stop watching television. Get out of the house. Move. The very things that we found out in research really works is exact things that is being presented here. We find Elijah exercising. Remember, as I said a minute ago, if I feel depressed, I don't feel like doing anything. When I don't feel like doing anything and I don't do anything, what do I feel? Depressed. So what do? We exercise. We break the cycle. We get out of our rotation around and movement through this toilet bowl drain of depression. We get out of the house. We become active. We move. We allow our endorphins to have some time to breathe. We allow our lives to move and grow and to be able to enjoy this wonderful thing called fresh air, which is the very things that you find Elijah doing here. The fourth thing you'll notice comes from his conversation with God. Beginning with verse number 9, God asks the question, what are you doing here, Elijah? Like he didn't know. Verse 10, he gets the answer. I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of the hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with a sword, and I, even I alone, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. I've always been curious. How did he say that? Because I always read this and I'm like, you know, I got this Missouri hillbilly thing going on. And so I would like, God, I'm like it, man. I'm like all. I'm all you got left and you're leaving me out here to die. I'm done. You're not giving me what I need. I don't have the people around me. And I read this and I'm like, wow, God's patient. Would I, being God, would I have listened to this? But when we're depressed, we say stupid things, don't we? And so we have then this presentation. God replies to him, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After that, the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, sounds a slow, low whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out, and he stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice from heaven saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah, verse number 14, repeats himself, expressing his feelings, expressing his issues, expressing his difficulties. And then God, in verse 15, presents this answer. Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint as the king of Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abimelech, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. Let me make sure I understand what he just said. Did God just tell him to go get a therapist? Did God just tell him to go find someone to talk to? Because if you read this, you're finding God being able to demonstrate His control and power of the situation. I mean, you and I can't even so much as fathom what it was like to see the earthquake and the wind and the fire and all these things going on. You and I can't even so much as grasp it, but yet, His power and control demonstrated. He then says, go find someone to talk to. You go find Elisha. Fourth thing that we tell people to do when feeling depressed is understand that there are people to talk to. There are people to discuss this with. There are people to unload your burdens upon and allow them to be your burden carrier. Give them those burdens. Give them those thoughts. Give them those feelings. Express that clearly to them. Allow them to carry it, God describes. But then He goes on, verse 18, and He says, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, and all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Can you imagine what it was like for him to hear 7,000? 7,000. We tell people all the time, when you're dealing with depression, you're not alone. Feels that way. I think that's the intent of Satan. He wants us, when we feel depressed, to feel alone, to feel isolated, to feel like there's no one else. Isn't that exactly what Elijah felt? Elijah said, I alone am left. All the prophets have gone. Everything's wiped out. I'm it. What did he remind them? There are 7,000 still there. If you and I are in the fog of depression, listen to the prescription of God. Get the right kind of rest. Eat the right kind of food. Get out of the house. Exercise. Move around. Find a healthy person to talk to. And never, ever, ever forget, you are not alone. God's got it right, doesn't He? He says, here's what it takes to deal with your depression. Maybe you're suffering from that right now. Maybe you're suffering from feeling alone and feeling depressed, missing out on things that you once enjoyed, and you need the help of the church. You need prayers. You need to realize that you are not alone, and allow all of us to show you you're not alone. Help us to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that as a church, we are a family. And we stand side by side and we fight the battles that are put before us. And we fight them together, serving our God and Father in heaven every day the best of our ability. This morning, the lesson is yours. Begging you, encouraging you, that if you feel this way, don't continue it. Seek the treatment of God. Seek what God has presented. Seek what God tells us to do. Seek what God has asked us to do. And managing our feelings, managing our thoughts, managing the fight that Satan has put before us. This week's going to be a great week. And I hope we can stand together. Fight the fight that Satan puts before us. And fight it with the sword of God. This morning, if the invitation is yours, please come as together we stand and as we sing.